For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reading today from high school students' papers about a book that I wrote called Passion and Purity. There's a teacher in a Christian high school. His name is Charles Zaffini. And just about every year, I get a very nice letter from him telling me that he appreciates that book, Passion and Purity, which is required reading in his class. And he sends me some of the better papers that his students have written. Here's one written by a girl. She got an A. The teacher has written, "Extremely well done. Appreciated very much your honest reflections on the author's ideas. I commend you for your spiritual resolve. Congratulations. God bless." And this girl says, "Many are the torments of the ungodly, but unfailing love enfolds him who trusts in the Lord." That is, of course, a scripture quotation with which she starts her paper. She says, "Maybe so, but those who trust in the Lord have torments too, and among those would be the dreaded chastity. Dreaded meaning that being chaste is a true struggle." Elizabeth Elliot addresses this torment of purity in her book, Passion and Purity, Bringing Your Love Life Under Christ's Control. After reading this book, I have acquired new desires and new goals, both being true love. Sure, I want a love where every simple touch means the world, and every look leaves an implanted smile on my face. But how does one go about finding that love? What if it's too late? Are the chances of finding that love diminished if one has broken his vow of chastity? First off, Elizabeth Elliot reiterated the importance of the sanctity of sex, believing in the holiness of sexuality and its divine origin. It comes from God, exists for God, and is centered in God. We forfeit this holiness when we are careless about sex. One may ask himself, how can one be careless of something that is not his own? We were bought at a price, and it was not perishable stuff which bought our freedom. The price was paid in precious blood, the blood of Christ. Therefore, we must present ourselves holy and acceptable to him who made us, created us in his own image, which is another topic touched on by the author, preparing our bodies as material for sacrifice. Falling in love is a wonderful thing. Our attention is directed on someone other than ourselves, and there seems to be a sense of exhilaration all around. It is at this point where discernment is most critical, and physical intimacy becomes one's biggest enemy. Getting to know the one you love does not necessitate physical intimacy, because true love begins with the soul. It is a slow and progressive process of knowledge and experience. Just as the church holds mysteries of their Savior, the bridegroom, so must be the union between a man and a woman. They must draw near to one another slowly, respecting the mystery, allowing the union of souls to precede the union of bodies. Physical intimacy spoils this mystery. It progresses quickly, yet dies quickly, leaving the couple with no substance because they will have lost the only true element of their relationship. This can be avoided, however, through careful observation and soul-seeking, concentrating on touching the heart of one's beloved rather than his body. It all leads back to the simple point of preserving one's self and one's beloved for the ultimate will of God. Love, true love, is a generous, voluntary principle that goes beyond the letter of the law. It fulfills the spirit of the law. It insists on God's very best for the self and the beloved, keeping one another at arm's length, and then, God willing, drawing nearer and nearer in body and soul. Indeed, it is a struggle because, granted, the desire to be physically intimate is God-given. but is only to be acted upon in the realm of marriage. But chastity does not end with marriage. Fidelity in marriage is also being chaste. It is a comfort to know that God himself knew struggle. Oh, the pain he must have felt when he watched his son die. But he knew that death would lead to a new life for us. If one wishes to go the way of the cross, he must be willing to see all things die if God intends. Sin touches everything in our lives. This is the reason all things must be given to God for purification. He will give back to us what he sees fit. It is when one seeks this purification of heart that he realizes the true struggle against the power of sin. I have acquired a true testimony from reading this book. Being molested as a child, I felt my self-worth was somewhat less than the average Jane. Yes, I know this struggle against sexual intimacy because as a little girl, I found my chastity stripped from me. And growing up, I felt it was too late for me. But being a child of God, I have been given a fresh start through the blood of Jesus. I'm now seeking that purification of heart and, of course, suffering small deaths along the way. But I have given it all to God, knowing that he has something very special in store just for me, because I have allowed him to take control of my life. That's the end of the paper, written by a high school girl for Charles Zaffini's class. I thank God that there are some with ears to hear the message of chastity, purity, and abstinence. If you're one of those, like this girl, who was abused in childhood, and so you feel as if perhaps your body is worth nothing, you might just as well give it away to anybody who happens to come along, or you feel as though you have no chance for a pure marriage or for a godly man because you're not worthy of him, remember, if you were really raped or abused against your will, I believe that in God's sight, you're still a virgin, because you did not consent. I speak also to those of you who have to admit in all honesty before God that you did give your virginity away. You chose to sleep with that man. You allowed things to happen that perhaps you hadn't thought out very clearly ahead of time. And you, like many others who write to me, are feeling filthy, used, cheated, robbed. Yes, I have letters like that, lots of letters from young people who just are kicking themselves around the block because they have given away the priceless gift of virginity. It's my prayer that God will use the two books that I've written on the subject. One is just a little booklet of 12 pages for children between the ages of 10 and 16. It's called Sex is a Lot More Than Fun. But the other one, about which this paper was written, is a full-size book, Passion and Purity. I want to read a part of another high school girl's paper. She says males are intended to be the initiators and females are intended to be the responders. I tend to agree with Mrs. Elliott's viewpoints on this issue. As a female living in the 1990s, I find nothing degrading or humiliating in being treated like a woman. It is extremely hard for females not to initiate. We want to talk about situations and feelings, get it all out in the open, deal with it. Living in a society that tells women to be bold and aggressive makes it even more difficult. One of my friends has been an excellent example for me in this area. For over 2 years now, she has liked a certain guy, but has felt the strong conviction that the Lord must be the one to bring them together, and not her own pushiness and desires. This has been a very hard thing for her to do, but I feel she has learned much through it. Mrs. Elliott recommends that the rate of speed at which things are taken be extremely slow. She believes in the very real pleasure of saving things up. This reminds me of something my mom always used to tell me. She said it when I was 6 and wanted my ears pierced. She said it when I was 7 and wanted to wear pantyhose. And she said it when I was 8 and wanted to wear makeup. She said, "If you rush all of these things now, you will have nothing to look forward to later." This principle remains true when dealing with physical affections. If things are rushed, they will no doubt become commonplace and dull, with nothing to look forward to in the future. A sign of Christian maturity is learning to delay gratification. Waiting patiently on God is generally the key to dealing with most dating and single situations. There are often times when God asks us to wait in order to teach us important lessons. God wants us to long for Him above all else, and He will therefore cause us to endure certain things in order to bring us up to that point. True love takes patience and must be willing to wait for God's perfect will. And so the ultimate question comes down to commitment. Am I willing to wholly commit my entire life, including my desires, dreams, and wants, over to my Creator? On paper, it sounds so easy. Who else could do a better job of completing a masterpiece than the Creator of it? He knows it so well. Yet living this principle out is so hard. There are small, enticing compromises which come along and seem to offer an easier way out, one which will allow me to take control of my own life. I suppose the true test of Christianity comes in giving myself completely to Christ. And then this girl ends her paper with Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Thank God for that girl and for others like her and for the young men as well who are willing to trust God absolutely to bring the right person at the right time and who are willing to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, belonging to God, not to themselves, not to be given to the wrong person.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.